always feel a little boxed in up here, but we'll deal with that. Okay. So just grateful and thankful for Pastor Jeannie's presence and for the spirit that she brings. Today's a day of great hope as we have offered scholarships to seniors, to college-age students, and those who are seeking after advanced degrees for our high school seniors who are graduating. It's a day of great joy. And so we celebrate that, and we are mindful of just the wonder of this day and the hope and the joy that we pray that we would surround them with as they receive these scholarships and as well this blessing. But if we pause for a moment and if we think about the lives that they are living, we realize how difficult their lives really are. We know that for folks who are going through as young people now in our in our society, that they face great struggles, that life is very complex, that we live in dangerous and troubled times. We have around us very perplexing problems. And so we realize that part of our joy in having them here is that we might surround them with the gift that enables them to know that they are a part of a church family that wants to embrace them and hold them and all of that. But we know that when they go out from these doors and go away from this church, that the world that they face, it is a very difficult one. We are faced with perplexing problems in our society. We are challenged each and every day to be able to live fully and faithfully and hopefully in the midst of all of the troubles that we are faced with. And as we come this day, we realize that it is a day of mixed emotions and feelings. While happy for them, we also know that we are releasing them into a world that is so very difficult. That in the midst of all of our support and encouragement and love, like all children of parents and grandparents, we send them away hopeful that somehow they will be able to persevere through the challenges that they will face, that they will find the resources that will enable them to live full lives, and that they will find vocation and family and life that would enable them to live fully each and every day. But we know that as they go from this, it is a hope and a promise, but it's not a surety. And it's a sad thing for us to be able to say that here in this sanctuary, but we know that it is not a sure thing. And so our hope and our prayer surrounds them that they might be able to find that. But what I want to suggest to all of us today is the church plays a role in helping that to happen in their lives. And that is to give them the kind of faith that can survive all seasons of life. That they might experience in the love of God and the support of a faith that enables them to know that as perplexing and as challenging and as chaotic our lives might feel, that at the same time, we have spiritual resources that enable us to meet those challenges and to rise above them and to be able to address those challenges in a way that affect not just us, but affect our world as well, that we might not just be about creating our own lives in worthy ways, but realize that we are also about trying to create a world that would be able to not be chaotic in just this way or that complex, but that we might be able to live with a sense of hope and harmony, that we might find that peace is possible, that we might be able to trust that human relationships can be nurturing and supportive, and that we can live in community in a way that recognizes the gift of diversity, but enables us to know that we are in this all together. And I think that's what I want to celebrate this day in that way, that as we celebrate these folks who are so special to this church, that we would also celebrate the faith that we seek to instill in them as a church. Last Sunday, I talked about this in the context of mission, and I said every single person has a mission. The church has a mission. Every organization has a mission. Every person has a mission. What are your goals in life? What do you hope to instill in others? How is it that you live out the values and ideals that you have for yourself? How do you vision the future for yourself in such a way that you're looking toward God to guide you into a full and rich and meaningful life? And I want to suggest to you all today that one of our missions as a church is to be able to instill and inspire a kind of faith that enables folks who experience challenges in their lives to know that God is with them, that they are not alone. Through worship and through prayer, through study and through all that they share in community, that they would come to experience a gift of faith that would enable them to persevere through all the seasons of life. Whatever life would bring, whatever complexity is before them, whatever challenges they face, whatever way that they are facing perplexing problems, that they would know that their faith is there to help to guide them, to give them the tools to deal with everything that they will face. And I'm not suggesting that their faith would be a magic bullet that would solve every problem in their life, but what I want to suggest is that when we come to all of the perplexities and problems of our life with a sense of faith, a belief that God is inside of each one of those problems and that God has a will and a way and a desire that God is seeking to carry forward, that even in the midst of all of those perplexing problems, we can retain a sense of hope. We can feel a sense of God's promise and purpose, and we can see a future that is bright even in the midst of the clouds and the darkness of our most difficult days. That is a mission of our church, to be able to instill that kind of faith. And that is our hope for all of those folks that we have celebrated today, that they might come to find the faith that gives them courage to do the right thing, that they might find the kind of faith that gives them a sense of hope in their darkest days, that they might find the kind of faith that enables them to experience the love of God and know that when they face in their lives times of turmoil, when everything in this life is telling them that they are bad and wrong, that somehow they would know in their lives that they are still beloved of God. That they might find in their lives that they would experience a sense of God's presence in such a powerful way and a faith that would give them a sense of vision so that they might see beyond their present circumstances to be able to see how God is moving them into that future. That is the kind of mission that a church needs to live into, not just for our youth and for our young adults, but for each one of us. Because as I'm describing this, I'm not talking just about our youth and young adults of this church. I'm talking about every single one of us. Because the truth is, we all need that kind of faith because we are all facing the same kind of perplexing problems. And the question is, can our faith give us tools to manage those problems, to deal with those problems, to rise over those problems, and to come to experience in all of that God's movement and how God is calling us to live more fruitful and faithful lives? The two scripture readings this morning, I want to try to connect in so that it'll help you to understand how I feel like the church can do that in the context of their faith journey, of our faith journeys. And that is, the first passage has to do with the disciples encountering a blind man with Jesus. And they ask this question, a profound question: who is it that sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus looked at the situation and realized that while they wanted to assign some kind of blame in this person's condition, Jesus recognized that he wanted them to see the situation from a different place. And so he said, it is not that this man's parents or himself that they sinned. It is that God's glory might be made known even through him. And what I want to suggest to you all today is that when we have that kind of faith that enables us to deal with the kinds of stresses and struggles and problems that we face each day, it's the kind of faith that is not going to just rely on or fall back on easy answers to the kinds of problems that we have. The problems that we have, they're complex. The world that we live in, it is so very difficult. And we aren't going to be able to solve the problems by just giving off the top of our head answer and think that that is going to solve our problems. We need to see the complexity of our life's problems and be able to deal with them with all of that, in all of that complexity, and come with a kind of faith that enables us to pull the problems apart so that we might be able to see solutions that would make sense. We look at our problems today and we realize that it's so easy for us to give a simple answer. You know, there are no jobs in our world, so, you know, what are we going to do about that? Well, let's just build a wall and it's going to keep those who are taking all of those jobs away. When we realize that the problems are much more difficult than that. When we look at the problem of terrorism that we face in our society and in this world, we think to ourselves, how can we stop terrorism? Well, let's just blame the Muslim religion and keep all Muslims out of our country, and that's going to solve the problems. When we realize that that is not the answer to our question, it's a simplified version of our own fear, and realize that we are not able to manage or deal with those problems unless we are willing to look at the heart and the depth of those problems. We have so many poor people around us. Let's just feed them, and that's going to solve the problem. And we realize that poverty is a systemic problem that we have to come to grips with and realize that it isn't going to happen by us giving some artificial answer or a quick answer to this problem, and realize that it is our faith that says we want to dig in and we want to come to the place where we recognize our problems in all of its complexity and then find a way to move inside of those so that we might see that even in that, even in those places where we are seeing blindness, that even there God can make God's glory known. The second passage is Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, and the disciples see him walking across the water, and they are so startled by this, they think that it's a ghost. But Jesus then invites them to walk on the water. And it is in this that the disciples are then stunned. What would they do? Peter stands out onto the water and goes out and begins to explore. And he begins to doubt why he's out there or how he could even do this, and falls into the water. And the challenge for him is this question: are you able to hold on to the hand of Jesus in those times when you're experiencing doubt and fear? The challenge of the scripture passage reminds us that we live in such great fear. It is so difficult for us to imagine that we would take any kind of risk in this life. But we realize that if we want to live our lives in a bubble, if we want to pull the covers over our head, if we want to ignore the kind of things that are going on around us, then what we know is that we are supporting the complex and conflicted life that has been given to us. But if we want to come to a place where we are going to be able to address those, then we need to pull the covers off and get into life and find ourselves taking great risks, knowing that Christ is with us in every one of the ways that we might move into those risks. The challenge for us this day as a church is to be able to say we want to have that kind of faith and we want to encourage that kind of faith. That is a mission of our church, that we might be able to do it in such a way that we are inspiring others to take on a faith that's going to enable them to make it through every season of their lives. That is a challenge for us as a church. We do it in worship. We do it in prayer. We do it in church school. We do it with our youth group. And we continue to encourage that because we know that as we are in a community of faith like this, that it is in the midst of our own church's DNA that we might be able to encourage that faith in others, so that when we go out into the world, when we go forth to serve, when we go forth to love, when we go forth in our families and in our community, that we might know that we have been given a strength of faith. We've been given courage and hope, wisdom and vision that would enable us to move into the future, whatever we will face, whatever is going on in this life, that we will be able to face it head on, and we will know that Christ is going to be with us in all of that. I'm so appreciative that Joan Sato Hernandez has been helping us as a church to really move into the scholarship program that we have with such a powerful legacy and understanding the need to be able to tell the story of the people who have named these scholarships and the history and legacy of this congregation. We have created this over the last 2 years, and I hope you'll get a chance to read this. Because what's really important about this is also the lives of the students who are receiving these scholarships, for sure, but also the lives of people that we would call saints of our congregation. Because what it reminds us about is that they represent for us a legacy. Because we know that as we sit here in this congregation, that for over 100 years, there have been people who have gathered together in worship under the name Blaine Memorial or Seattle Japanese United Methodist Church. And we realize that it has been in times of hardship and struggle that that faith has persevered and has moved them forward. You got to know, as an immigrant church in 1904, it must have been difficult for them as Japanese-speaking